Just do it. That's what we're calling this sermon. Just do it. I often, now that I'm semi-retired, I don't preach all the time. I go back to sermons I've preached before. Why not? If God gave it to me and it fits today in a different church, problem being, then sometimes I think, oh man, what if I preached it there? Because in the move and in changing computers, even though I usually keep track. So if I preached this one before, it's because God wants you to hear it again. I really did, though. I was telling my daughter on the drive over, I felt bad about the fact that I reused. I have a little file box. My grandfather was a pastor, and I've never really looked at it. I've had his sermons. My brother had it for a while. I've got it now. And I pulled it out the other day, and just looking. He does like I do, kind of notes, knowing which direction he's going, but not the full sermon. I flipped it over, and he's got, preached it at this church on this date. Preached it at this church. If it's good enough for Grandpa, I can do it too. So I felt much better that it's okay to do that. And what's kind of neat, the place where we've retired and the church that we're attending now and working in some ways, I found out I had a distant cousin there. Because my grandfather pastored that church, and my father's older sister fell in love with a guy. I mean, I had no clue these people were even there, and I've got like distant cousins from my grandfather's time of ministry. So that's just a little something extra for the fun of it. So today, we're going to talk about prayer. First thing I'm going to ask, what is prayer? Well, I found a little thing online. I kind of liked it. Prayer is the world's greatest wireless connection. You know, nowadays everybody wants a 5G, 4G, 3G, golly G, whatever G, you know. But we got all this wireless stuff. You know, for me, I still want the phone on the wall with the 20-foot cord that I've stretched out to make it 30-foot. That's good enough. I get real frustrated with wireless stuff at times. But we think it's the most fantastic thing, yet we've always had a connection that went from here to eternity to wherever, however. If we just take advantage of it. Communicate with God the Father. Communicate with the Creator of the world. That's what prayer is. The world's greatest, has been there forever, connection. I'm going to ask a question. You don't have to raise your hands. You don't have to answer it out loud. But in your mind, how many of you might think that you're good prayers? I know for myself, I beat myself up at times because I don't think I'm praying well enough, long enough, hard enough, whatever, off. So I tend to beat myself up a little bit. My mom, when growing up in church, the little church, it was basically my mom's family and all her side, and my dad's family and all her side. They met and got married. So when I would go to prayer meeting on Wednesday night, it was a lot of family members. But I remember prayer meeting being a time where people wept, where people hurt for the folks in the community, where their hearts were broken. I mean, prayer was fervent, effectual prayers. And I get concerned at times that maybe I don't pray as fervently and effectively. Now, I was a kid that would tag along, and my cousin and I thought it was funny. They're all crying. We'd wet our eyes. Say, okay, now we're praying too. But little kids are stupid, and you do what little kids do. But obviously, it impacted me. Because now I can look back and remember prayers that were coming from the heart. Well, my mom often didn't pray out loud in those prayer meetings. Because, like me, she tended to beat herself up. Because back then, you had folks that knew how to put the thou and the therefores just right. And man, when they prayed, it was poetic. And it just sounded powerful. And mom felt like she just couldn't pray like that. So we've got to be careful not to judge our prayers on how others pray. Because Satan uses that. So I might as well not pray anyway. I don't pray well enough. God's probably not hearing me. I didn't use the right words. Satan will use anything he can to keep us from doing that which God would have us to do. So if you think you're not a good prayer, toss that out. And we're going to talk today about prayer and what God wants to do in and through our prayers. I think sometimes we're a little concerned about prayer because we look at God and He is the omni-everything, omniscient, all-wise, omnipresent. He's always present everywhere, omnipotent, all-powerful. He's this great creator and sustainer of the universe. He's everywhere and everything. And I got to approach the throne, and I'm not worthy. So that makes it a little difficult, too. And again, we're going to talk about that part. You know, we forget that even though He is the biggest and bestest and greatest in Romans 8:15 and also in Galatians 4:6, Romans 8:15, He says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, daughtership, childship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. And then in the other scripture, Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons or daughters, children, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Abba is... Well, let me tell you, my oldest daughter, when I was going to community college, I'd done 4 years in the Army, got out. It was before I got in the reserves. I was kind of in between trying to figure things out. God called me to Himself, called me back. I surrendered my life, decided I need to go to college, figure out what I'm doing. Hadn't given in to the call of ministry yet, but it was in the back of my head. And in community college, there was a young girl who had just gone through a divorce. She had a 3-year-old daughter at the time. Actually, her mom was the manager of some apartments, was able to give my parents a place to live in the apartments. We got this relationship, started driving to school, ride-sharing kind of a thing. Well, that ended up being my wife, Linda. Well, little Jennifer, I was always daddy. Her father was just the biological father. But I was, and I say that because Abba is daddy. There's a difference between father and daddy. Even though it says Abba, Father, the word Abba is more personal. And I didn't understand it as well until I got that picture in my mind. Jennifer calls me daddy. Of course, daddy has to fix a lot of things, but that's okay. I've got that relationship where the other guy, she's hoping, at least keeps her in the will because he's got a little money, so when he dies, she'll at least get some stuff. But that's all there is that kind of a connection. He's father. So God says, I want to be your daddy, the guy that takes care of you, the guy that says it's all right, holds you close to Him. As we get better with that relationship, there's actually another, I forgot, there's one more where Jesus even talks about being brother. Mark 3:35, whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Again, family. It's a family relationship. Prayer is not necessarily going before the king with your requests all formal, having you have it written out right and said just right. No, it's going to dad with your brother Jesus on his right hand and having a family chat. We got some issues we need to work out. A lot of them are my issues, but I know you can work them out. And I know you want to work them out. We need to remember that that's what prayer is. We make it too difficult. They say, when you're preaching, you're pointing. Well, I got three pointing back at me. So I'm preaching from experience here. I make it too difficult too often. We're talking with dad. Occasionally the Lord will remind me, Isaiah 43:18-19, forget the former things. Forget that stuff back there. We like to say, but it used to be. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I bring that up because let me tell you a little bit about the progression of my prayer life. Again, grandfather was a pastor, grew up in a Christian home, gave my life to the Lord actually at a Christian camp as a kid. But as a lot of kids, you go to school and you get dragged back into stuff. So I couldn't wait to get back to camp, get myself back on track, go back to school. And then 1975, graduated. Well, actually, it was during Christmas break of 74, we decided to join the Army. They just started the all-volunteer Army. I didn't have money. We were poor. Wasn't going to be able to go to college. Said, I'll join the Army. So went back to school, obviously pulled away from God again, and then went to the Army. So you know how that went. I think I've shared this before, knew enough about Scripture, said you're going to either be hot or cold or God's going to spit you out of His mouth. I knew I wasn't hot, so I said, I'm going to live the coldest life I can. I don't want to get puked out of God's mouth. So I, when I was doing Army thing on active duty as a young guy, I was doing stupid stuff. But 1981, God said, you had enough yet? He reminded me what family was, whether it was my family at home, because I thought I had family out there with my friends. As this one sleeping with that one's wife, and this thing's going on, and all kinds of stupid stuff's happening, and we won't even go into details. But God reminded me of family, and then reminded me of church family. And oh, God had my parents decide to not live where I grew up, but to move, because the kids were all out, to a little town where I knew nobody, and the first people I would meet would be in the church. And God said, move back home. And as I drove from Colorado to Virginia, surrendered my heart to the Lord, driving through St. Louis, as the sun was rising, I could see it through the arch. I tell people, if you can see in the spiritual realm, there's a carcass of the dead old David Phelps on the side of the interstate right there. Tell you all that to say, okay, then I get to Virginia, I start going back to school, I'm doing my devotionals. The first year of my Christian life, boy, I used to do all my devotionals in the bathroom because it was a quiet place. So I'd sit in the bathroom and read the scripture and pray. And, you know, learning about, man, some of these people speak in tongues, this private prayer language. And I'd be praying, Lord, you know, it'd be cool. I'd love to have this language with you, you know, where you and I can just speak. And it's my personal thing. And prayed like that for about a year. And then I realized that prayer was some listening, too. And God finally said, you know, we're communicating quite well. You don't need a special language. So my prayer life was changing. I was realizing it wasn't all just taking the wish list to Him, which is often what it is in our early prayer lives. Okay, God, here's my stuff. There, I prayed. I feel better now, you know. And I began to learn to hang out with Dad, to talk with Dad, to spend some time listening, to pray and read the Scripture, and then pray some more and read the Scripture, so that there was real communication. Then I finally surrendered to the call of ministry, got into ministry. We're inner city of Buffalo, all kinds of things, learning about spiritual warfare and the power of Satan, not more powerful, obviously, but if we're stupid and don't do the right things, the power of Satan can bring us down. So we're really learning about how to bring people together in prayer and to really fight against Satan. And by the time we left from Buffalo and went to Erie, my prayer life had gotten very good. And I basically prayer walked the county. We had other sister churches, and the Lord had me prayer walk, and then it'd be a Wednesday when they do a prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and I'd end there, and our people would come over, and we'd pray with their people. But just trying to get out of what we see in the earthly realm and try to get into the spiritual realm. So my prayer life was growing, and I would spend all morning in the church, and it was a good-sized church, I think full, would seat like 350, so it was a good-sized church, and we were growing, and the Lord was moving, and I knew, because people like to sit in the same place, I'd go through and pray for everybody every morning in their little seat, you know, and just had this, I felt very vibrant prayer life. And in 2004, all of a sudden I got something in the mail that said, hi there, reserve soldier, we need you to go to Afghanistan. Okay, so I'm going to Afghanistan. Let me tell you, you can't spend all morning in prayer at war. You can't prayer walk because there's mines everywhere. My prayer life switched real quick. Lord, what am I going to do? I'm so used to I had got stuck in my mind that there was only one way I could do it. And I really began to learn what praying without ceasing was like, about learning to walk and talk with Dad like the old hymn. And He walks with me and He talks with me. Learning how to just do that in my life, how to try to just even just allow the Spirit almost to talk with Him, just to just be in His hands and hang out with Him, because I had to stay focused when we were outside, when we were out doing our thing. I had to pay attention. But there was a different style of prayer. But then I came home from war, thought I had to go back into the old mode again. Well, but it's different. Today's different. I'm not who I was then. I'm not where I was then. We came to Burlington knowing that the Lord brought us there, knowing that He gave us a vision, watching some of that vision come to fruition, and then the fire and the lack of help and just... How does that affect your prayer life? You know? Life happens. I'm just going through all that because I know you're in similar places. All of you have been a few miles, most of you. And I can guarantee you've probably been there at times too. And you think, am I praying right? Am I praying proper? It's not like I used to be. Well, God's saying, forget that. You're in today. Oh, yeah. So that's why I forgot about this one. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Goes with the don't look back. New every day. So my prayer life could be new every day. If I'm truly seeking Him, saying, okay, Lord, I'm coming to You now. Let's spend this day together. He might say, it's going to look different than it did yesterday. Maybe you got to shut up all day and I'm just going to talk today. Or maybe, I don't know. But His mercies are new every morning. And that's in everything. And that includes our relationship with Him. I had gotten, when I felt they were going very well in Erie, I used to love to pray, Lord, surprise us and excite us. Because, again, the good Father, he wants to give that stuff. I loved watching that church grow because it was stuff that I didn't do. It was truly learning to listen to the Lord and doing, even if it was difficult. There was a time the kids said, you can't do that, Dad. You're going to get fired. God said, we got to do this next thing. And we did some things that God said, and we would watch God move. And people come in and things happen because God did it, not because I did it. Which takes me back to today's church. A lot of men doing stuff, but prayer is the key. So new every morning, new day, new things. So as we're looking at this concept, well, if it's new every morning, what do we need to do? We need to learn to be like the disciples who in the Gospel of Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer say, Lord, teach us to pray. They would see Him go off and pray. Okay, He does it very well. Maybe we're not doing it right. Lord, we see You and Your Father got this relationship and You're going to pray. Teach us to do that. But then the one that we know the just do it part. The one that we know and use the most often, in our church, once a month, we have communion, we always say the Lord's Prayer, is the version out of Matthew. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, or sinners, or trespasses, as we forgive our debtors, or those who sin against us, or trespasses against us. But deliver us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. So the disciples said, Lord, teach us. Jesus said, okay, boom. Here's your lesson plan. So we're going to look at today is the six R's of prayer. Relationship, reverence, resignation, requests, repentance, and release. The six R's of prayer. Starts right out in verse 9, our Father in heaven. Now, the whole Abba, Daddy thing. I try to see myself, again, if the king has children and everybody comes to the court and does all they do, the kids, when he's not, can come up and get on his lap. They don't have to go through all that process. Yes, he's the King of Kings. Yes, he's the great I Am, but we are to call him Daddy. Daddy. Take care of us, Daddy. And He wants to take care of us. So first part is to remember that we are in that relationship. And this morning, the worship songs that we sang, I was going through everything this morning, and I still get the words wrong while I'm singing, but I was trying to make sure everything was right. Man, I just got in a real reverent, spiritual, worshipful time. And that's what He's saying in verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. We need to have reverence. We need to say, yes, You are holy. You are righteous. We need to realize our position. Yes, He has adopted us. Yes, we are children. But yes, He still is the King of Kings. Boy, there's a two-sided coin there. And it gets kind of difficult. We've got to keep that in mind. I want to be careful that as His child, I don't become kind of flippant with, oh, Dad, I tend to err on that side too often. I get a little flippant when I shouldn't. The soldier in me, a lot of people were surprised I got as far as I did because the mouth went into gear before the brain did a lot of times. So I need to be careful. So yes, He's Dad. Yes, I can approach, but don't be rude about it. Remember who He is. Yeah. There's a balance that we must take. Then again, the resignation and submission. Verse 10 says, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to come back to that. We're going to spend most of our time on that one. Then we get down, verse 11, give us today our daily bread. And unfortunately, and I'm as guilty as the rest, that's the biggest part of our prayers usually is the requests. And we have prayer time, and we're supposed to, and we gather the requests. And we don't spend enough. Boy, I'll get to pray and say, oh, Father, I forgot to worship you. I need to show you some praise. You're worthy. I need to thank you for all that you've done. But yet, half the time, I'm halfway into my prayer list, my wish list. Requests are a part of it, but they didn't come till number four in Jesus' list and is only one of six pieces. So I think all of us probably need to balance that one a little better. We need to remember that 12, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. There is that repentance piece. I know that his repentance, forgiveness extends. But I think, again, we can get cocky and say, oh, God's forgiven me, but I went back and did it again. I need to... Yeah, again, there's a repentance and not just forgiveness piece, too. The turning from and not continuing to go back like a dog to his own vomit concept. So there is that repentance. And Lord, help me with that, please, because I am so human, it's not funny. And then, finally, he ends up with... lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. A release, a deliverance. Lord, help take these chains off of me, the bondage that I'm in. Free me from that so that I can be the man or woman that you have made me to be. I need to be freed from the stupidity of the human life. Again, we're Christians, but we're still human, and we tend to slip back some. So relationship, reverence, resignation, request, repentance, release. But we're going to spend a little more time on verse 10 before we end this thing. Resignation, submission, your kingdom come, your will be done. Hard to pray that. We think of Jesus before he went to the cross. He's there in the garden praying. It says he prayed so hard, he was praying for that. That's a prayer from deep within your soul, that you're praying so hard, you're not just sweating, but you're sweating drops of blood. And he said, Father, this is going to be painful. I know it's a part of your plan. I know it's necessary. But I don't know if I can do it. I set aside my divinity. I've become human, and I found that this stuff is tough. Do I have to do it? But, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Wow, that's tough. When we were pastoring in Erie, Linda had some real sicknesses going on, and doctors were messing up and trying to treat one thing. They were giving her medicine that messed up something else, and the medicines. And there were a couple times she's in the hospital. I didn't know if my wife was going to live. And I'm trying to raise teenage kids. I think we had three teenagers at home at the time. Yeah. And pastor a church. I'm still back on the teenage part. I'm sorry. But anyhow, a lot of stuff going on. And I'm praying, Lord, what do I bring to the church this week? What am I? And God had me do a sermon on that, on truly submitting. We sang the hymn, I Surrender All. And we sang it just before I went to the pulpit. And I went up just kind of singing through it. And then I played like God was talking to me. But do you? Because I'm human, and I realized I didn't. And if Linda was to die, God was still God. And I had to put her on that altar. That wasn't easy. But it was a wake-up call, and I realized my Father cared and would take care of it either way. I can't say he's my Father and I trust him if I only trust him with this much. Of course, in the sermon, it took us a while to get to that part. Oh, sure, Father, I put in my tithe, but will you put your whole checkbook in and your whole wallet? And we went through all the things that we go through, but then God took me to that point. I think I've preached that sermon two other times at very important portions of my life, retiring from the army. That was hard. I had to put my whole award rack up on the altar, kind of a thing. You know, this is me. And when there was problems in the church, I had some people telling lies about me, and they wanted to take my ordination away, and boom, I'm still called of God, so I can even surrender that. So the concept is, are we willing? Can we walk the talk that we talk? It's not easy. And we're going to cry some tears, and we're going to get some bruises, and we're going to get some scars. But the submission part is key. And if we would submit more, I believe we wouldn't be in the problems we're having right now. I think Jesus would be better seen in our lives. And part of it's the soldier in me. I'll fight back in a heartbeat. And it's hard to say, no, because I love you, I'm not going to fight with you. I'm going to see how can we work through this thing. That's tough stuff. Submission, folks. If we could learn to truly submit, I think our prayer time would look a little less like a shopping list and more like a chat with Dad. But we always take that shopping list. I think we forget that Matthew 7, 7 through 11 reminds us, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks you for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Then we look over Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Again, I told you I used to like to pray, Lord, surprise us and excite us. That's the Father giving good gifts, you know? When a kid opens that birthday present or Christmas present, it's what they always was hoping for. That's how God is. Now, I'm not coming from the health and wealth aspect, and you're going to get everything you want. I'm not saying when you pray, you're going to get it today. But God knows our hearts. We were pastoring in Buffalo. Over 75%, probably at least 75%, maybe more, of the church below poverty level. Back then, though, we had food stamps were paper. But as the people grew in their love for the Lord, they were even tithing their food stamps, which I thought, oh, I know these folks are growing now. And we had a food shelf, and everybody was on food stamps, so we could buy food for the food shelf. But a poor church and a bar closed down the street, and oh, the Lord gave me a vision for getting that bar and turning it into a Saturday night coffee house kind of it. Well, not Saturday, it'd be open every day, I'm sure. I was still growing in my faith and in my prayer life at that time. I think it could have happened, but I think my faith was a little weak. Never did happen, but boy, that was a desire of my heart. So I told you, 2004, the Army called me up. And when I came back from Afghanistan, they still needed me. I spent almost four years at the Pentagon. They said they could still use me. I said, I'll go wherever you want. Let me know. They said, we need somebody at Fort Drum. I wanted to come back up this way. Went to Fort Drum to do what? To turn an old chapel into a coffee bar kind of a chapel. It was awesome. If the chapel wasn't being used, all the other officers said, oh, we can make something out of it. We said, no, the church, the chaplaincy needs to be able to use it. Here's an older sergeant that knows how to connect and do it all right and get the monies together. And your tax dollar helped pay for the desire of my heart. And I got to do ministry. And on a Saturday nights, we were rolling. For a while, that place was packed. Reaching those that wouldn't get up on Sunday morning. At first it was a single soldier thing. But then we had young couples with families that couldn't get all their kids together Sunday morning because the one was deployed, and the single, mostly moms. And so the chaplain's wife started doing a mama ministry. My wife started doing the children's ministry, and then this thing just grew. But the Lord provided the desire of my heart. In the midst of pain, in the midst of things going bad and eerie, God sent me to war for healing, to provide the desire of my heart. We came here. He called us here. We knew we were to come here and see that church revitalized. It is tough coming to Burlington because the vision that God showed us never occurred, and I don't know why. But God said, I still got you, and I still love you. And I'm not in full-time ministry. I'm semi-retired. And God provided my wife's dream house in retirement, a house that would cost us $500,000 over here. We got for $135,000, a historic, beautiful old house. Got a picture on my phone if you want to see it afterwards. But just the right place, right time, God taking care of us. We did the church in Buffalo, we'd sit in the bathroom on the toilet and look down at the bathroom floor below. I mean, so we've lived in the stuff. So it doesn't always happen as we pray, but if we serve Him, delight ourselves in Him, do as He asks, learn to walk with Him and talk with Him, He takes care of us. But I think too often we get to thinking, I can't pray, my prayers don't mean anything. Or if we do pray, it's just a shopping list. We forget to spend time with God. We forget to... I go fishing, I just like to say, boy, it's beautiful out here. Thanks, Dad. Man, this is nice. Some of my best prayers are when I'm fishing now. I love taking my granddaughter, Nevaeh, likes to go to some of my fishing spots, and we'll go walk on the rocks and see if we can not fall in the water. But just to get reconnected, sometimes getting reconnected with nature helps us get reconnected with Dad. So as we leave from here today, the key thing is don't keep looking back. I got actually one more verse. As we look at the things we've looked at, I forgot, I found this online and I loved it because I wanted to look at the Matthew 6:25. Worry bad, prayer good. Very simple. Worry bad, prayer good. Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Matthew 6:33 and 34, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I can preach this kind of sermon because I've been there. I've made the mistakes. I've corrected them when I can. I've lived in the crud, but doing what I knew God told me to do. And I've always seen God take care of it. Again, I'll never understand what happened in Burlington. But I know Leonard, the homeless guy, when he died, I had been able to, before he died, hear him pray like his homeless buddy had never thought he could pray in his life. Where did that come from? Was able to reach him in a place he hadn't been reached in years, got him off the streets and in a home before all his health issues were to give up and he was to die. If for no other reason, I was in Burlington for Leonard. I don't know. I don't understand it. But when God calls us, we do what He says. We talk with Him. We trust that all these scriptures we've looked at this morning are true. That He is a faithful Father who looks after us, who cares for us, and will always take care of us. One more scripture, James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Doesn't say the prayer of a person who knows how to say the right words. It just says a person who is right with the Lord. A person who has asked God, God, show me what you see. A person whose heart breaks. I won't make Miriam mad, but I'm trying to have prayer meeting in our church and not a lot of people come, and there have been times that it was Miriam and I. And Miriam said, well, I don't pray. I said, just pray, honey. And her heart would break while praying. And I told her, that's a better prayer than I prayed, maybe. Because it came from the heart. That's what God wants. We try to do prayer from the book or whatever. And the prayer needs to come from the heart. Talking with Dad. Trusting that He's got it. One of the things that I'm hoping to be able to do in our church as we close, we don't do this part. Confessing our sins to one another. In the old days in the Methodist movement, there was what they called a love feast. And it was a type of communion where each of us had some grape juice and some bread, and you went to each other and you talked things through. You said something last week and I was really ticked. And you worked it out. And when all hearts were clear, then you shared the bread and the juice. Less problems in the church when we talk things out. We're seeing God divide the church that we're in right now because we're not talking things out. You know, we like this part and we quote this part all the time, but it comes right after the confessing. I got a little saying that I found somewhere and I've got it printed up in my house. It says, keep things hot, honest, open, transparent, and we don't. We put on masks, we hide behind stuff. And then we expect our prayer life to be effective. We expect our relationships to be good when we need to be confessing to one another and allowing God to work the healing. Oh, we might cry. Oh, it may be rough. But the healing comes and God has His way. And remember, with prayer, don't just do it. That's just key. Let God work it. He'll figure it out. Just do it.